I thought that would be a cute little quip to add this morning because of our moms. And, children have a way of expressing it maybe a little bit better sometimes and just sharing what's on their heart. But mothers, today is your special day, and we celebrate you, we honor you, and we're thankful for you. And today's message, just for a few moments, is not just exclusively for mothers, but I want to encourage you today to think of three reminders that I'm going to share with you, but reminders that are foundational as to who we are, not just as mothers, but as dads and as family people, as citizens of the community, as believers in Jesus Christ. And so I'm hoping maybe it'll be a little bit lighthearted, and I'll let you out a little early today too, so you can go to your dinner, okay? We'll do that. But I know that many times you get discouraged. Many times you get a little bit overwhelmed by all that's happening and all the things you got to do. My wife right now is pulling her hair out because we got a wedding coming up in less than 2 weeks. And I'm glad she's not the mother of the bride in this situation. But I do know that it's going to be, in the next couple of weeks, it's going to be really hectic and it's going to be very busy around the Ross household. My daughter is coming down from Presque Isle and she's doing all the flowers and all of that stuff. And so, guess what I'm going to do? Nothing. My wife said, get out of the way. So I'm just going to get out of the way and not do a thing, okay? I'll be there for the ceremony and everything else, and that's about it. But anyway, I want to give you three reminders as to who you are and what God has called you to be. In these days especially, we need to be reminded of these things, because I believe there's nothing more important in our world today than godly mothers and godly fathers. That is where it's even foundational before the church itself. Unless we have homes that are based upon biblical principles and homes based upon what God intends, then the church has no relevance whatsoever, because it all starts in the home. And I want to remind you of that. But the first thing I want to remind you today, bring before you today, is that as a mother, number one, you are essential, okay? You are essential. What's a mother's worth? Have you ever thought about that? Maybe you've heard people talk about what a mother's worth is, but you can't really put it into dollars and cents. But if you could, this is how it would come out. And I picked this out not too long ago. In the 2011 salary.com, an internet site, it valued the mother's job of both working and staying at home moms. Adding up the hours moms spend being a housekeeper, a home care provider, cook, facilities manager, van driver, taxi driver, launderer, janitor, and CEO, according to salary.com, the stay-at-home mom should earn $115,432 a year. You ought to be getting that in your paycheck every year there, Mom. You ought to be getting it. And the working mom should earn $63,472 above the salary she earns at the workplace. That's average across America. Amazing, isn't it? Now, if moms ever formed a union, the rest of us would be in real serious trouble, wouldn't we? We sure would. It would be nice if moms could get paid what they're worth. And there's no dollar amount that could ever, ever replace the value and the importance of a mom. You see, our perspective is distorted. And in our culture, people earn huge amounts of money. And, they're able to come out with all kinds of things. It's kind of attractive in some places what people earn as far as salaries. Maybe not in Bodenham, but in the Silicon Valley in California, certainly. And in places throughout America, people earn a lot of money in different places. And there are well-to-do people. But there's nobody, there's nothing more important and worth as much as a mother. Because money can't buy caring. Money can't buy love. Money can't buy compassion. Money can't buy what our mothers give us. And I know I'm speaking to experts in the field right here, those of you who are mothers, because you are professional mothers, okay? Consider yourself a professional mother because you've been through it all. You've wiped up the dirty messes. You've done this. You've done that. You've been patient. You have been long-suffering. You have gone out of your way for your children. You have sacrificed for your children. You have given your all for your children. You are essential today. You are important. God says you are. Not me, not anyone else. God says you're important because God's word tells us that that mothers are valuable, mothers are precious in His sight. The craziness of our culture is that people who do the best things, the most significant things, are often paid the least. And motherhood seems to fall in that category quite a bit. Corporately, we celebrate your contributions to our culture once a year, Mom. But I want you to remember that every day of your life, you are making a contribution to this world. You are making a contribution where it's important, it matters, and it's significant, and it's precious. But maybe sometimes people around you don't show it, and maybe sometimes people don't appreciate who you are and what you're doing and what you're about and what you represent. But you know what? Your Heavenly Father knows it. Your Heavenly Father understands it. Your Heavenly Father says to you today, thank you. You are precious. You are significant. You are important. More importantly, you are essential. And the people in your life need to know this more than you'll ever realize, than you'll ever understand, than you'll ever appreciate it. People, without you, you know, this world may just fall apart. No kidding. I'm serious about that. This world could just fall apart without motherhood. The book of Proverbs says, a child left to himself disgraces his mother. In Proverbs 29, verse 15. Without your correction, without your discipline, without your compassion, without your training, without your comfort, and your nurturing presence, your kids don't stand a chance. I grew up with three younger brothers, four boys in the family. Can you imagine my mother raising four boys? Can you imagine four boys being in the same household? Some of you can. But at times, it was hectic. At times, it was chaotic. My mother, I think she grew a few extra gray hairs, especially when we became teenagers. Four teenage boys, all within a year apart. Because when my brothers, I was born, then three more brothers in 4 years came along. And that was a lot of boys popping into the family all at once in 4 years. But anyway, my mother deserves a medal for that, for sure. Moms and non-moms think about, you know, how precious it is and how important it is to remember just how mothers are essential in our world today. And I know there are mothers that have looked back and they have wondered, where has all the time gone? How in the world did I ever get from there to here where I am now? How in the world was I ever able to raise little Joey in all the problems that he had, in all the issues he had at school, everything else like that? There are mothers like that. And then there are those who have not had the blessing of being a mother. I think of one of my wife's family members who is, as of this day, has never become a mother. And she, one of the things that she prayed for all her life was that she would be a mother. And I believe she'd make a wonderful mother. There are some women out there today who for one reason or another, were not able to become mothers. And my heart goes out to them today as well. We ought to remember them today on this Mother's Day. You are essential today. You are an essential part of our world, an essential part of our culture, an essential part of what we're about as far as humanity is concerned. The second reminder is this. Not only are you essential, but you are influential. You are influential. The very first miracle that Jesus performed, if you remember back in the Gospel of John, was the wedding at Cana. The couple had run out of wine during the wedding feast, which was a socially humiliating situation. And they went to Jesus, and they said this, "They've run out of wine." And Jesus said, "Why do you want to involve me in this? My time has not come," he says. Mary said nothing more to Jesus. She just turned to the water and said, "Do whatever he tells you to do." And Jesus told them to fill some jars with water, which had been turned into wine. So, and then the Bible says this in John chapter 2, verse 12. "Thus he revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him." So here's a story here about the influence that even the mother of Mary had, or of Jesus had. Here is a story about the influence, the great influence that the Son of God's mother had upon the Son of God in changing this water into wine and making things possible for this wedding to continue. It was Mary whom God used to tell Jesus that his time had come. That's how much influence she had with her son. You are a person of influence today as a mother, whether you realize it or not, whether you understand it or not. You can be a positive influence or you can be a negative influence. You can be an influence for the good or an influence for the bad. You can be an influence for richer, you can be an influence for poorer. You can be an influence for good health, you can be an influence for poor health. But nonetheless, you are an influence. And I know that most of you, all of you here this morning, are influences for the better. You're positive influences. And that's what leadership is about in our world today. It's not about who has the most money. It's not about who has the most degrees after their names. It's not about, what kind of house you live in or what kind of car you drive. It's about your influence. And influence equals leadership. And we desperately need that. In our homes, we need it in our churches, we need it in our society, we need it in politics, we need it in government, we need it in our community. We desperately need that today. And so you are influential as a mother today. Don't forget that. Your influence can go a long, long way. Your influence can go from one generation to the next, can set the tone for what the next generation is going to be. That's how powerful your influence is all about. And let me tell you, it is significant. It is not something to scoff over. It's not something to be lighthearted about. It is serious business. Napoleon Bonaparte once said this, "Let France have good mothers, and she will have good sons." And I don't know whether or not Napoleon would be considered a good son, but he makes a good point. And he makes a good point for today. A mother's influence shapes future lives. The book of Proverbs says in the verse that we read that the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hand the foolish one tears her down. And how true that is. And so influence is where it's at. And sometimes it may seem that our children will never follow our advice. Sometimes it may seem as mothers and even as dads that our words just hit the wall and bounce back, and our kids never listen to us. Let me tell you, they do. They not just listen to our words, they watch our actions. The words we speak and then our actions. Our influence among our children, our example, the example we set to our children, are so crucial and so necessary and so important in this world that we live in today. And so if we're going to influence society, if we're going to influence our culture, if we're going to influence our community, our schools, it's that godly influence that's so significant and is so important. And that's something that we ought to be remembering today. So you are essential. And secondly, you are influential. And thirdly, I want to suggest to you today that you are enough. You are enough. Now, what am I talking about here by saying you are enough? Well, we know that the storybook family scenario is one mother and one father married only to each other, with children only from that marriage, all living together. That is the perfect scenario. That is the ideal situation for harmony and peace and everything else. That's the storybook version. However, let me remind you today that only 1 in 6 people in America live in a family like that. That's the way our world is today. Only 1 in 6 people in our country live under that perfect, so-called perfect scenario of what the family is all about. There's not one family here in this place today where a divorce has not been part of what's happened in your history as a family. There's not one family here today that has not been affected in one way or another by the tragedies of culture, the tragedies of marital breakups, the tragedies of strained relationships, of families that have been torn apart in one way or another. There's not one family here today, my own included, where there has not been some kind of issue or problem that has been in the past. You know, as I have been watching the Baltimore riots the last couple of weeks taking place in Baltimore, I'm thinking of those kids that were out on the street. Many of them just teenagers. Many of them 14, 15 years old. And my question was, where was their mom and dad? Where's their family? Where was their parents? Why weren't they home where they were supposed to be at 9 and 10 o'clock at night? Of course, there was a lot of older guys, too, and older people that were part of that. But I'm reminded of this young lady. Her name was Toya Graham, who, in broad daylight, she sees her son out taking part in what was going to be a fiasco and what was going to be a little bit of a maybe an issue or maybe even a riot developing on its own. And she goes over there and she grabs her son by the scruff of the neck and hauls him out of there and bats him around a little bit, gives him a little cuff, and sends him home. Now, there were some people who were saying, you know, that's abuse. That's abuse to bat your kid around like that. Let me tell you, if that would have been me, my mother and my father would have given me a lot more than a hand across the back of the neck. It would have been a lot more than that, let me tell you. And even to this day, you know, there are people who are saying that this Toya Graham ought to be nominated as the Mother of the Year. The Mother of the Year. And that was an example to me of the fact that this one mother, I asked the question, well, where was his father? I guess didn't have a father. No father. No fatherly influence. No manly influence. And what a tragedy that is. And what a terrible thing that was. But you got to give it to Toya Graham for going right into that crowd and picking out her son and just setting him on the straight and narrow. Now, I'm sure in years to come, when that boy is going to be fully grown, they're going to look back at those videos and they're going to say, Mom, that's probably the best swat you ever gave me. And I'll probably learn more from that little cuff on the back of the head than anything else that I've ever learned. You see, we live in this kind of a world today where motherhood is just so, so important. And one of the most significant leaders in the early church was a young man by the name of Timothy. And he was Paul's protege, trained to be a pastor in Ephesus, where, according to the historical legend, he served for 30 years before he was finally killed and slaughtered, martyred for his faith. And when Timothy was still new in the ministry, Paul wrote him and said to him in these words, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Paul was writing saying, if it wasn't for your grandmother Lois, wasn't for your mother Eunice, you probably wouldn't be the man you are today. That's what he was saying to young Timothy, this pastor. Susanna Wesley was the mother of John and Charles Wesley. And those are names. They were the founders of the Methodist Church. And her husband Samuel was a minister. But frankly speaking, he wasn't much of a minister. He couldn't get along with the people that he served. He went from one church to another and upset one apple cart after another. There's a lot of strife and a lot of problems in his ministry. They didn't pay him well. On top of that, he was terrible with money. And it was told that he was even sent to prison, debtor's prison, a couple of times because of bills that he owed. And Susanna had to fend for herself. Of course, she had 16 children to fend after. And he was a hothead, her husband. Once Susanna and Samuel were praying together, and were told, Samuel did not like the way that she pronounced the word amen. And it led to an argument. And it led to a brief marital separation because of the way he thought she pronounced the word amen. Samuel was gone all the time because of travel or debtor's prison or marital problems. Therefore, Susanna Wesley took it upon herself to raise the children, to teach the children from the Bible. It was told that she used to rise up at 4 a.m. in the morning and pray 2 hours for her children by name before the children even got out of bed. That's what a powerful mother she was. And someone was bold enough to write and gracious enough to write when they did up Susanna Wesley's biography and wrote this. It says, quote, "Although she never preached a sermon or published a book or founded a church, she was known as the mother of Methodism. Why? Because two of her sons, John Wesley and Charles Wesley, as children consciously or unconsciously will, applied the example and teachings and circumstances, the example of their wonderful mother, their gracious mother, Susanna." Now, I'm going to close right there this morning with these reminders. The reminders that you know, God is up to a good thing when a godly mother steps up to the plate. That in the midst of a world filled with chaos and a world that's filled with so much pain and suffering, that there's still motherhood to embrace, to give thanks for. I'm so thankful that, you know, it's not a Baptist thing or it's not even a religious thing, but it's a common sense thing that we give thanks for motherhood. Of course, as believers, we have an opportunity to make it count. We have an opportunity to build and solidify wonderful biblical principles that apply to our lives and influence the people around us. God has called us to be godly mothers and godly fathers and to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. The old proverb that says an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. Has anybody ever heard that? It's true. It seems, moms, you have a voice in the lives of your children that no one else can ever have. You can send them off to school, to a public school, or wherever they might go, but no one has the influence that a godly mother would have. And so I encourage you to use your voice wisely to be mothers that God has called you to be. Again, Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears her down. You have a chance not just to build a house. You have an opportunity to build a future for your children and your grandchildren and your grandchildren's children. They need you. You're essential. You are essential today. You are influential. And you are enough to make a big difference all around us. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for motherhood. And we give you thanks for the mothers that are gathered here today. And I pray that each and every one of these mothers would also know you and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I pray, Heavenly Father, if there's any mothers here today that have never experienced you, have never come to a saving knowledge of the truth and have never put their trust completely and solely in you, that today they might reach out to you. We pray for mothers throughout this community, Lord, in the strife and the struggles that are before us, that they would reach to you, because we know that mothers cannot do it on their own. They need your help. We all need your help, Lord, and we call upon you today because you're worthy of our praise and you're worthy of glory and honor. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you join me, please.